Back in the boat of knowledge that is Behind the Beard WNC. What a podcast this is. You have to admit it. A bunch of guys that gather around and banter about high school football. And gosh, we love doing it. It's a lot of fun. We hope you're entertained too, but if you're not, we understand. That's okay. Gentlemen, what a great weekend of football, except for you, Lewis. I understand you had a pretty rough weekend with football.
Well, Friday was pretty bad. Saturday was good. But you know what? Took the TV out on the back deck and sitting there with the fire, had the hot tub. It was still a good weekend.
It was still a good weekend.
Florida State sucks. Owen didn't do the best, but you know what? It's still good.
It's indeed. Only been 380 days since Florida State won a conference game.
Yeah. yeah.
And
thanks, Mike.
And your 49ers.
49ers was, well, losing Fred Warner.
Yeah. And then the Rockets get the big win. Gosh, what?
I think that's the best of the two losers that were on that field.
So it was. It's actually the opposite of Lewis Christmas.
It's Lewis Tax Day.
It's Lewis Halloween.
Yeah, Lewis Halloween, indeed.
Indeed.
So that's good stuff, Mike. What did you do this weekend?
Oh man, football. Football. We went to the Rockets game Friday. Saturday, Lewis said he took the TV outside. I brought a second TV downstairs so we could watch all the football games.
Yeah.
And so Luke and I basically watched football all weekend, and then Sunday, we chilled a little bit. I didn't watch too much football.
What do you guys think about NFL versus college? Like,
college is 193% better.
I think so too. Plus, I agree. Like, all of their games are aired.
Yeah, it doesn't help that my NFL team's atrocious.
Well, dude, you chose the Dolphins. Just be, you know, you're the Dolphins dude. Just be with them. It's okay that they're bad. You still like them. Yeah. But, you know, you can't watch most of their games.
Well, I got the Sunday ticket. I can watch them all.
Well, that's good, but you shouldn't have to pay that. You know what I'm saying? Like college, that's why college sports is so much better. Most of the games are on TV.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, most of them. I had to pay for Peacock so I could watch State this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Luke got the student rate.
Okay, well, that's good.
$2.99 or something.
I would like to ask Carson what he did this weekend, but apparently he dropped an aerator on his head. Is that our understanding?
I don't think he can remember what he did.
So a little backstory. We're getting ready. We're about an hour from the podcast. Lewis texts, I'm not going to be there. I'm like, okay, regular time. Everybody else be there. It was at 20 minutes later, Carson texts, I'm bleeding to death.
Yeah, I have a hole in my head.
I don't know if they planted anything. Did they put the aerator?
That was funny.
Hopefully they planted some football knowledge in his head.
Yeah, they need to.
It's not been looking good for
especially
him.
After the picks.
His picks.
You want to play the Carson clip for the picks?
Picks. I think there's going to be about four things you didn't see coming.
Okay. 6-4? 6-4 is a much improved from my last 2 weeks.
That's true. But it was not 6-4, was it, Mike?
Nope. Carson brought up the rear this week at 5-5.
Indeed.
Lewis, you and I were 6-4.
Indeed.
Guess what Pat was?
Was he 7-3?
He cheated.
Top dog right here.
Was it the first time all year he's been positive?
Don't call it a comeback, baby. I've been here for years.
Is this the first time you were positive all year?
I think so. But it's like, you know, it's like a classic thoroughbred horse race. I've been just, you know, lapped on the outside of you guys the whole way, and now I'm getting ready to change leads and close for the wire, baby.
I heard your close for the wire doesn't work anymore. I don't know, though.
Indeed.
So yes. On the year, Lewis has got the lead, 46-31.
Of course.
Carson and I are three back at 43-34. And Pat, I can't even do the math. He's 37-40.
He's still below 500.
That's all right. I've been saving up all my energy for this stretch run. It's all good.
The playoffs are going to bring him home.
Indeed.
Do you do that like the month before your anniversary?
I got to prepare. You know, I got to get, you know, some exercises in, some stretching, you know, some good nutrition.
Hey, Pat, I know you were at the Rocket game. Lewis, you were at the Owen game. And I know we've touched on it before, but a big thing I heard this past week from a lot of people, referees.
Oh, please. Our game lasted 3 hours and 15 minutes every other play.
Very, very, shouldn't say very. There were also a lot of penalties to the Rockets.
There were.
What do you think? 250?
Yeah, I think it was actually more penalties on the field than the prior game, the Irwin Rockets game prior. I think there was slightly more this one with Asheville. Now, you know, I will say this. Obviously, the flags flew. I think you would agree, though. There's when there are false starts called, I mean, those have to be called. I mean, it is what it is. Those flags, I really don't discount on the referees. Those are mental errors by the teams themselves. and you know, any obviously on sportsmanlike type stuff. I mean,
how about the aiding the runner? It's been a hot topic of conversation.
That was a big deal in the Rockets game, but I guess is that they're not allowed to do that. You can't do the tush push in high school.
So after looking at the film, there was no push from behind.
There was not.
No, looking at the film, no push from behind. It was a bad call.
Almost like in the Irwin game.
Which was a total game changer. I mean, I think even you, it was going to be probably 12-7 right there.
Oh, my, yeah. Halftime. It would have been big.
And Nashville gets the ball first.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the film yet, so I did not see it. I have no idea.
Didn't look like there was a lot there. It was a little bit of a scrum. I don't know. That's a tough call right there.
Yeah, woof.
It seems that there's a lot of tough calls that happen in certain places.
And the other piece of the puzzle is we're seeing the white hats. I don't know about your games, Lewis, but every game I've been to, whether it was at Irwin or, you know, at Reynolds or wherever, or even at Asheville, the white hats throwing all the flags, 85% of them.
Well, what I've seen, and of course I've been running the chains at Owen, the white hat is doing a lot of training during the games.
Is that where we need to be doing training?
No, typically, you know, they have their training sessions, a couple of them, two or three before the season starts, but I feel like the level of experience has went so low that they're doing it every week now.
Here's kind of what I'm seeing, and I had a couple other folks mention this to me. We've got 75-year-old plus white hats and brand new everybody else's.
Yes.
So there's not that mix of, hey, I've been doing it 4 or 5 years. I'm pretty good. I'm okay.
Right.
Instead, we have guys that are, no offense, they're past their prime.
Right, right.
A 75-year-old is not going to be his best on the field.
Definitely not.
Trying to keep up with 18-year-olds.
But without those guys, we probably have no experience on the field.
No, you're right.
Then it's the Wild West, dude.
Yeah. Here's the other piece of the puzzle. There is no, after the season starts, there's no training and there's no, you're not held accountable for anything, really.
Okay, so that brings a good point. Say the Irwin call was bad and the tush push was bad. What happens to the guy? Absolutely nothing, right?
Right.
So, I mean, dude, if I know that there's not a penalty for whatever crime I'm doing, why would I care to not break it? Right? So these guys can call whatever they want. They can do whatever. There's nothing to justify or happens to them. They don't get dock pay. They're not allowed to, like, you know, they're not getting kicked out of future games because they need them so bad. So why not just do whatever you want to?
I would say, though, too, in that vein, that I would assume the best of intentions, however that may be, as far as maybe they're a little bit more agreed or more enthusiastic about calling more plays, because I think we can all agree you could call a holding penalty on every single play at any level of the game, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
So if you've got white hat or line judge umpire, whoever is going to call that, I kind of revert back to something that Coach Law said to us in one of the interviews was, as long as they're calling it the same both ways, you know, if it's not lopsided one way or the other. Now, you know, the aiding the runner thing, I've never seen that before, but I have no idea what that is. But on the holding stuff, if it's balancing itself out, I don't know.
I think if you're shooting for a balancing, then maybe that's not the right direction. Because I can look at any play, like you said, and be like, oh, well, I've got 5 on Reynolds and 4 on Asheville. I need to throw a holding call.
Maybe I should clarify. No, I agree with you. You don't want to do it that way, for sure. But I think consistency in the way you're calling. Like, if you're going to be it's at a certain level of holding, that metric should apply on both sides, but not necessarily the same number of holding calls per team. No, I agree with
you. I am glad you cleared that up, but yeah. I do agree with the second thing you said.
Yeah.
So you talk about, you know, consistency, and here's a stat I found from the Inca Irwin game. Inca 5 penalties for 17 yards. Irwin 17 penalties for 168. Do we think Irwin played worse than Inca as far as penalties?
I would definitely don't think that's the case. So one umpire that I happened to watch during a basketball game, this is probably when the boys were like 12, 10, and Austin had a really good basketball player on his team. What that umpire did was judge that kid differently than everyone else on the court because he was so skilled and he kind of knew what was going on, right? And, you know, in basketball you can tell a little bit different than football, but he judged that kid different and would call him for stuff that the other team was doing but didn't call him, and I completely disagreed with that.
Yeah. You want a consistent application of the standard.
Right. So just because this kid was more aware of the game, and of course you're talking about little kids, doesn't mean that he should be penalized more.
Okay. Yeah.
The other piece of the puzzle is, and I can only relate it because, you know, I do some high school baseball. I've never done football. But there's really, so you take a test before the season.
Yep.
That makes you eligible to umpire as long as you pass that test. And then you're out there. Well, there's no accountability. There's no one that shows up to watch and say, hey, that guy does okay, or that guy's terrible. We never, Gary and I never received any kind of phone call, hey, this coach is saying, you know, you guys messed this up. There's never any feedback of any kind.
I've spoke to a few umpires for high school football, and apparently there is a grade sheet out there on you guys if you don't know. Like, you and Gary probably have one for baseball. It's kind of how they are supposed to use, you know, the selection for playoffs. Right. Whoever has the best percentages and all that. Now, this particular umpire I was talking to that shared this with me said that's not how it's working in Western North Carolina. It's more like a buddy system. I don't know that to be true. I'm just saying what I heard, which is why he's no longer doing it. But apparently there is a score sheet, but maybe it doesn't get shared, and it doesn't matter if you are 75 or 99. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. If there was some sort of system where they were doing that, if they're not sharing that with the officials
and the public,
well, for the first step is let's share it with the officials so they can get better. If I don't know if I'm doing anything wrong, I'll never get better.
Correct.
Just because a coach yells at me, that doesn't mean anything.
It sounds like you've been with a narcissist before.
So it's unfortunate that we're talking about officials making critical calls. Listen, we see it at the college level. Georgia, God, who they play this week? Georgia and Auburn.
Well, Auburn, yeah.
I mean, there were some calls there, critical calls that changed the game.
So that was one of the games we watched in entirety this weekend, and very surprised by how all of a sudden Georgia turned it around, which did coincide with one of those calls you were talking about.
Yeah, the touchdown call.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's interesting, right?
I am certainly not saying that any Western North Carolina referees are doing anything to help one team win or another. As an official, I don't care who wins. I really don't.
I'm the same way.
I did Christ School games. I did Reynolds games. I did DC games. I don't care.
You had a few Owen games.
I did have a few Owen games. I'm sure they got tired of seeing me. But I don't care. I don't care who wins.
Correct.
Also, it goes to aligned incentives, I would think, too, because I think you've mentioned before, both of you, I think, have mentioned before that there's a deplorable lack of officials in all the sports. Is that accurate?
100%.
So obviously, should you increase the incentives, you will attract more competition and thereby a better pool of candidates.
How about your incentives being how good you've done the game?
Yeah. I mean, I think
if you have a low scorecard, you don't get $85 that night. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're talking about performance, pay for performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a base salary, and then above that is, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I'm in.
To do that, you almost have to have a arbitrary person to do
you
it.
You have to.
Because if you leave it up to the coaches, if I have you guys as coaches and Pat gets beat and Lewis wins, Lewis thinks I did a great job.
Well, yeah, I think you're a turd.
Pat thinks I'm terrible.
Well, if anyone from that committee or whatever, you know, Brian and all them, if they're all anybody's listening, I'll be glad to review every game and let them know who does good and bad. I got some time on my hands.
Man. So, all right, officials. I know we've talked about them before, but here we are again.
God, it's one of the worst things to talk about because, Mike, both you and I are umpires, but both you and I also argue with the umpires.
Not anymore. I don't argue with them at all.
Oh, Mike.
Mike has found religion.
No, I'm serious. You can ask anybody. I haven't yelled not one time at any official ever.
Is that only because your kid's not out there? Right. No, you said ever.
No, this year. This year. I haven't yelled one time this year at any game.
Well.
Not once.
Good for you, Mike.
Anger management classes.
Yeah. So let's talk a little football from last week. What do you say?
Indeed. Yes, because indeed. I did so well, I'd love to talk about this. Would you all like to try and mimic my performance and pick my brain for what I did so well?
Yeah, I need to know how you came up. Who made your picks for you is what I need to know.
Indeed. Well, it wasn't me, but no.
I feel a little slighted because I didn't think I was going to be here, and then I sent my picks to Pat. So I feel like he's going to have a good week this week.
Yep.
Yep, he's got your picks. So we'll start with Polk and Madison. Guys, we all got this one correct. Madison at home gets the win 27-22.
What was the spread on this one?
The spread was 3.5.
Okay.
Madison was a favorite by 3.5, yes, and they won by 5.
So they covered. They're a great team.
They're a great team. I've been saying that for
a
while.
I do not agree with that statement, just so you know.
Indeed. I know.
This is Madison Owen week. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very true.
So for Polk quarterback Brody Wilkins, 12 of 18 for 201, 2 TDs. Running back Ivan Sanchez, 23 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. For Madison, quarterback Dallas Bartle.
That's Bartlett.
Bartlett. There were two T's on the end. I didn't see them. Sorry.
Yeah, it's Bartlett.
Dallas Bartlett. 5 of 7 for 48. 2 TDs, though. Running back Ivan Blankenship, 20 carries, 179 yards, and a touchdown. As a team, they rushed for 239. Blankenship also the leading tackler with 15.
Hey, Pat, one thing about this game I don't remember. What was Owen's score for this game?
Owen's score was 17-14.
For the Polk game?
Yes.
Okay.
So Owen won by 3. Madison won by 5.
You said 17-14. Is that what it was, really?
17 minus 14, Pat?
Is 3.
Is 3.
Okay.
Go ahead and look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
You don't think I've looked it up 10 times? Who do you think comes up with this stuff?
I don't know. You tell me.
We'll wait. You got some music, Jeopardy music?
It is 17-14.
I know. I know.
Good. Oh, this is fun.
I even put it in the text thread.
Wow.
I barely read that. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Evidently, you all do.
I read it thoroughly. I just, when I stop my car.
Unless he's driving. Yeah, he don't read it then.
All right, we all got that one right. Next up, Robbinsville at Murphy. Murphy was a 10.5-point favorite at home. Murphy does win 17-10. Mike, the only one to get this one right. I rode with the Robbinsville Knights. No stats on this game. Murphy gets the win.
I'm surprised.
I mean, they won.
Yeah.
They just didn't win by 10.5.
Yeah.
So, Murphy 5-2. Robbinsville 5-3. Murphy now probably the inside track to the number one seed.
One thing I love about the small towns like that is like Robbinsville, you know, historically, they're going to win no matter, you know what I'm saying? Then they just lose a couple players. In small town, it's hard to fill those positions.
Yeah, for sure. So next up, Hendersonville at Owen. Owen was a 32.5-point home underdog. Hendersonville gets the win 40-0. We all picked Hendersonville, even Lewis. How did that go in your Owen brethren out there?
When I showed up to practice on Thursday to get Steven, the team shouted out that I wasn't allowed to be on campus because I didn't pick them.
It's brutal.
Did they take away your chain gang duties?
The funny thing is I did not do it this week.
Yep, they suspended you. That's what I thought.
They suspended me. Yep, you got it.
You got suspended.
That is not true. But I was watching it with Beth.
All right.
Because that is her alma mater.
Hendersonville now 6-1, 0-4-4. Again, as I said all along, Owen's got to win this week to be 500.
They do.
Unless you're planning on beating Mount Heritage.
I mean, I plan on it.
Okay. Like you planned on beating Hendersonville?
Let's dig in. Come on, Wayne. Oh, man.
Let me get some popcorn here, guys.
There's a smile coming across your face I'd like to wipe off real quick.
So next up, Franklin at North Henderson. We got a clip for this one. You want to play NH.
Running back has 48 carries for 350 yards.
That was Carson picking the North Henderson to cover or to stay to get the points. They were getting 16.5. It didn't matter. Franklin wins 42-21. Parker Willis did have 23 carries for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns, but was outrushed by a sophomore running back from Franklin, Gary Young. 21 carries, 190 yards, and 5 touchdowns. This game was 28-7 at half, and Franklin just kept their foot on the gas.
No, I really appreciate that from him. I mean, all of us got it right but Carson, right?
All of us got it right but Carson. A little Pat Lewis Mike.
Yep.
The next one was a little out of our area. We did Kings Mountain at Ashbrook. Ashbrook was a 4.5-point home favorite. Well, 4.5, not enough. Ashbrook wins 43-7. Ashbrook only had 37 yards passing, while running back Martino Smith, nine carries for 148 yards and two touchdowns. They had 196 yards rushing as a team.
Pretty good efficiency there.
Yeah. Ashbrook undefeated, 7-0, and evidently the real deal.
Indeed.
So next up, Smoky Mountain. Oh, by the way, Carson, the only one to get that right.
Yeah.
Carson. Next up, West Henderson at Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain, a 16.5-point home underdog. Wasn't enough. West Henderson wins 34-8. Pat Lewis and Mike got this one correct. For West, Cade Young, 8 of 10, 183 yards and a touchdown, 5 carries for 51 yards. Running back Zane McGraw, 32 carries, 167 yards, and 4 touchdowns. While wide receiver Asa Osterman, 3 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. West is rolling again.
I do feel like West has kind of turned the corner, you know? All that preseason stuff, they've really gotten to a groove lately.
Will it continue this week? They got Brevard.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
They also have some points, so.
So next up, the big Haywood County rivalry. Pisgah at Tuscola. This was a pick'em, and Pisgah gets the win 35-14. Pat Lewis got this one correct. Can you play Mike? They win every other game, Lewis.
Yep.
So they beat North. They lost to West. They beat Smoky. They lost to Franklin. So it's their week to win.
But it wasn't.
It was not their week to win. But, hey, at least I was paying attention. What did Pat say?
So, yeah, I'm going to be going with Mike on this one. I'm going to have to go with the Pisgah Bears here. But I'm curious. You mentioned earlier when you were going.
Tuscola.
You picked Tuscola. Okay, so you went the other way, and I'm not paying attention. But
as normal, he doesn't pay attention.
Pat was asleep over there in his chair, I think.
Indeed.
Were you getting a text from Steve or something?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, his Pisgah people were letting him know who to pick.
Oh, hey, you know, I was officially invited to join the Pisgah Bears Facebook page. So, yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Woo.
Are you going to be rolling in some Pisgah attire?
I don't know. They wear bear outfits over there and stuff, I think.
I've heard in certain communities you are a bear.
Am I? Indeed.
So for Pisgah, Landon Pope. He had 45 carries for 283 yards and 4 touchdowns. Lewis, that's 6.3 yards per carry.
Good job, Mike.
For Tuscola, Jet Barley, 15 of 22, 151 yards and a touchdown. While running back Sam Trantham, 11 carries, 92 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Isaiah Hyatt, 5 catches for 73 yards.
How about Landon Pope again?
Listen, 45 carries, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That young man... That's like over 90 carries for 2 weeks.
Do you think at a certain point a college is like, nah, you know, the miles has run out on this thing?
No.
No, you don't think so?
In baseball, yes.
Well, I mean, I think running back position might be the same way.
I think baseball, when they look at pitchers that have been pitched year-round.
How about those pitchers coming from Japan that's like, over there they do like 250 pitches in a week. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, but Nolan Ryan threw 200 and some pitches in a game.
That's true.
And still pitched the next one 3 days later.
But that was a different era.
Yeah.
Real men.
True. So next up, little MAC conference action. North Buncombe was at TC. TC, a 29.5-point home favorite. 29.5, not enough. TC wins 42-0. We all got this one correct. For TC, quarterback Rod Harris. Was 12 of 19 for 98 yards and interception. He also rushed it 11 times for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. They had 210 yards rushing as a team and 5 touchdowns. For North Buncombe, they started freshman quarterback Landon Hines. He was 3 of 16 for 48 yards and an interception, while Kingston Denson had 18 carries for 58 yards. Pat, that's 3.2 yards per carry.
Good math.
Yeah.
Way to go.
So North Buncombe offensively, big struggle. TC gets the win by a lot.
So is TC back?
Yeah.
You think TC's back? They're rolling. They got their offense figured out.
I mean, it's TC Reynolds, isn't it?
TC Reynolds this week.
Not this week.
Season ender.
Yeah, sorry. That's the last game of the
year. So you think that's the game to be at?
Yeah, because I mean, what else does Reynolds have? No offense, they got Inca North Buncombe.
That's true. What if they cough up one of them?
I'd be very, very surprised.
I would too. But it would make my day. Let's be honest.
Agony.
So next up, we touched on it just a little bit earlier. Inca at Irwin. Irwin was a 30.5 point favorite at home. They do win 28-14, but they did not cover. Carson, the only one to get this right. Irwin now 2-5, 1-1 in the conference. While Inca also 2-5, 1-1 in the conference. Like I mentioned earlier, big story here. Inca 5 penalties for 17 yards, while Irwin had 17 penalties for 168 yards. From the people I've talked to, this game maybe should have been 49-6.
So, well, I mean, that's not really a surprise, though, right?
No. The surprise is that it was 28-14.
Indeed. I mean, good job for Inca for that, you know? Maybe Inca's kind of turning a little something over there.
Indeed. Go Jets.
Or Irwin has nobody left on their bench.
Oh, no.
Irwin's still got plenty in the tank. They're going to do fine. Yeah. Hey, you know, Mike, I know you're getting ready to get into this with the conference standings and the Dirty Dozen and stuff, but I saw this on the Facebook, you know, the social media page where you log in and you read other people's posts.
I think if you say the Facebook, everyone knows you're over like 45.
Well, that is true. I'm very old.
So what'd you find on the Facebook?
They put up the 4A RPI rankings. Did you see those?
Give them to me.
So they had Reidsville number one, Brevard number two, mm-hmm. Pisgah number three. And then you go all the way down to number nine was Maiden. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. And we'll talk about, I got some playoff stuff we'll talk about too, and some seedings if they started right now.
So with that, let's just wait till we get there. Let's finish our last game and then we'll get to that. Because I'm very interested to talk about one thing with playoffs.
Okay. So last up, Asheville traveled to Reynolds. Reynolds was a 7.5 point favorite at home. And Reynolds gets the win 26-7. Pat, I feel like this game was maybe a little closer than the score says. Let me get some quick stats. Quarterback Colton Reimer for Reynolds, 5 of 9 for 34 yards. Ty Patterson, 18 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Jaden Smith, 14 carries, 91 yards. Reynolds rushed it for 214 yards as a team. The running game rolling for the Rockets right now.
Just real quick, who is the quarterback for Reynolds right now?
Colton Reimer.
Yeah, Reimer.
Is that the ACA guy?
No, that's the Irwin kid.
Oh, he's still got a concussion?
I have no idea.
He's dressed on the sidelines.
Oh, okay, cool. I was just wondering. I don't know. I haven't heard an update. I was just wondering if he still had a concussion.
No idea. No clue.
So like we talked about, 12-0 at halftime. Asheville scores, we think, right before the halftime. It's called back by the officials. And Pat, go ahead. This is your arena.
Yeah, well, I was up in the booth with Chris and calling this game. And obviously the first quarter, I mean, it was just a mess. Chris was commenting that, I think the halftime, right, going into halftime, that you basically should have just left the laundry on the field and picked the penalty that would apply to whatever play was being played. I mean, it was kind of insane the amount of penalties that were being called on both teams. I mean, it was awful. It was a really hard game to watch. It really was ugly.
No flow.
No flow at all. And there was no score in the first quarter at all. It's just to your point, there was no flow. Nobody could get anything going. And then finally,
can you imagine being an offensive coordinator and trying to call plays? It's 1st and 10, then it's 2nd and 5, and then it's 2nd and 15.
Yeah,
and then it was bad.
It was terrible. And I think Chris pointed it out on the broadcast, or Travis did, one of the two of them. Really, the big key in that first half was the decision to punt by Reynolds, and that put Asheville deep on their own, 3-yard line or something like that in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And that they couldn't get out of that box back there. And that allowed that eventual special teams play where Reynolds blocked the punt and then that linebacker just basically caught it out of the air in the end zone. That gave Reynolds a 6-0 lead. That was really key, I think, and getting the momentum at least going in the first half.
The gentleman that blocked it, Stacyon.
Oh, is it Stacyon Taylor that blocked it?
Stacyon Taylor blocked it. Sorry, I couldn't remember his last name.
So that was key. Obviously, the penalties was the big story. Nobody could get in any kind of flow. And then, you know, Asheville put together that good series right there near the end of the first half. They got all the way down to the 1-yard line of Reynolds, and it looked like they were going to punch it in. And actually, I don't remember what the score was exactly, but that would have put them ahead at that point, wouldn't it, over Reynolds?
Yes.
Was it 12-7? Yeah. Would that have been it?
I think it was like a difference of a field goal before, and I think it would have been a three or four point lead for Asheville to go in the locker room with. But, you know, then they had the aiding, the running back play.
Which was an incorrect call.
I guess. I haven't seen the video, but according to what you guys have seen.
I think it was a 15-yarder as well, wasn't it?
It is a 15.
It's a 15-yard penalty.
Maybe. Put him back. But then,
almost like the 15-yard penalty against Irvin. Sorry to keep interrupting.
Oh, no, that's fine. They had then, you know, that was kind of a gut punch because time was running out, obviously, and it kind of took wind out of their sails. But if memory serves, they got another penalty or something that kind of pushed them back even out of field goal range, and they just ran out of time. They couldn't get a field goal or a touchdown out of that. And then on the other side of second half, you know, Reynolds takes advantage and comes out and gets points on the board there. So I don't know what we've talked about that before, owning the time at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half. I mean, that really was the difference maker. But from what I saw, it was the difference for Reynolds getting the momentum and keeping it.
Now, Mike, some viewers and I had a question. Were you like beside Rodney on the sideline?
Well, he was at Irwin, and I was at Reynolds.
I'm sorry.
And I was sitting with Bill McGee.
Were you beside court?
No, I was actually on the home side.
You were sitting on the home side.
I was.
Okay.
It's a shorter walk. That's the only reason.
Okay.
So just to add to that, I took a few notes. Asheville had 8 offensive penalties on their first 3 drives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of those false starts. I mean, that's on them.
Yeah.
And like Pat said, they couldn't get any rhythm.
Like Pat said, you have to call the false start.
Yeah, I mean, right? That is what it is.
Absolutely. So it was tough. It was a tough game to watch. If that was your first game ever watching it, I feel sorry for you. If that was your first ever football game.
You're probably not going to watch football after that.
Yeah, probably not.
The second half was a lot smoother for both teams, I thought. I mean, even Reynolds was able to pull away a little bit, obviously, and get it. But to your point, it was a better game to watch in the second half, and the score may not have necessarily told the whole story because, you know, Asheville is a talented team. They have very talented athletes on that team, and I think there's big things certainly down the road for them in the future.
Asheville's had 7 starters with season-ending injuries.
Yeah, that's hard. How do you overcome that?
And they're already starting freshmen and sophomores. Yeah. So quarterback, a sophomore, like a freshman linebacker. I mean, they're young.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a perfect storm.
Yeah. And then you take 7 of what you had out, and it's tough. Right now, there's no deep teams in West North Carolina. You take 7 starters off any team in West North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose some games. I don't care if it's Brevard. I mean, you look at Mount Heritage, they lost Kaysen Jones, lost a Swain.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then last week we were talking about that freshman running back over at Irwin Tolbert, how he runs behind his pads. You know, Tay Williams, that's the quarterback for Asheville. Isn't he a sophomore?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a sophomore. He's a talented kid. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he's still got the rest of this year plus 2 more years. It'll be fantastic to see what that happens here.
It'll be great if Asheville can hold on to him. But the second piece of that puzzle is they couldn't protect him.
Yeah.
He did not have any time to throw the football.
That's true.
So, anyway. A little bit closer, I think, than the score, but it looks like it's going to come down to Reynolds TC for this deal in the MAC. So.
That's unfortunate.
I think it's fantastic.
Pat does think it's fantastic.
I really wish it would be Asheville TC.
No, I'm sure you do, but no, it's going to be the Rockets.
So let's talk about the conference standings. You ready?
Let's do it.
The only other game I want to talk about in Buncombe County that we didn't mention, Christ School at home against Providence Day.
How did that work out, Mike?
That was 71-0. It was 57-0 at halftime. So we talk about private school football being down. Oh, it's down in West North Carolina.
Do they do the 35?
Yeah.
It's running
the same.
Clock?
It's the same.
After half.
Yeah, after half. So 57 or whatever at the half. And then
automatic running in the second half.
And that's all the games that were played in Buncombe County this week. So, and Henderson, Haywood. All right, let's talk about the conference standings. You ready?
I am. Let's hear them.
Which conference you want to start with, Lewis? I'll let you pick.
I would like to pick the MAC first.
All right, we'll start with the MAC. So at the top, Reynolds 2-0, TC 2-0. Hey, they're destined for an end of the year matchup.
Hold on a minute. Why would ACR be ahead of TC if they're both 2-0?
Because they're amazing.
Huh? Alphabetical. It's alphabetical if you're first.
And they're amazing.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
ACTC.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure what you were choosing.
And the Rockets fly high.
So right into the dang gutter.
Nope.
All right. They're easy. They're
champions.
Inca and Irwin both 1-1. North Buncombe and Asheville both 0-2. If I told you before the conference season started, Asheville be 0-2, you'd be like, yeah, that's probably right.
No. I think so too.
I would not have picked Asheville. I would not be 0-2.
All right. So which conference you want to do next?
Let's do the Western Highlands.
Western Highlands, two undefeated teams still. Also looking at an end of the year showdown for the conference championship. Hendersonville 3-0, Mount Heritage 3-0, Mitchell 2-1, Owen 2-2, Madison 2-2, Polk 0-4, Avery 0-3. One of those teams will get a win this year.
This year,
in conference.
Okay,
when they play each other.
Okay. So they're both 2-2, though, right?
They're both 0-4 and 0-3. I'm talking about Polk and Avery.
I got you.
They both have no wins.
I got you.
Oh, Lewis, he's all ready to fight about Owen. I'm not even talking about Owen.
Well, I'm just glad you put the right team on top because it wasn't alphabetical, but you did pick.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to hear about it. Thank you. So next up, the Mountain Eight, who, by the way, is taking this week off. There's almost no Mountain Eight games. Brevard 4-0, Franklin, Pisgah 4-1, West 3-1. Tuscola 2-3, Smoky Mountain and North Henderson 1-4, East Henderson yet to hit the win column 0-5.
Do you think they'll get a win?
No.
I mean, it could happen. 2 weeks from now when they play Brevard?
Wait, Owen's not on their schedule this year.
I wish we were.
Yeah, no, y'all would kill them this
year.
Yeah, I'm obviously joking. So that's your conference standings. Exciting stuff.
It is.
So, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for the
Derek's,
the Triple D Double T.
Nice.
Derek's Dirty Dozen.
What'd you call today? Big D Coach or something like that.
Coach Big D.
Coach Big D.
Go ahead. Pat's going to give us Coach Derek's. Let's see. Pat's going to give us the Triple D Double T. Go ahead.
Derek's Dirty Dozen. Right. That's what we're doing here.
Yep. The Derek's Dirty Dozen Top 10.
Coming in at number 10, not on the list before, Mitchell chiming in at 4-3. The Mountaineers are having a quietly good season in the Western Highlands. Three losses to high-quality opponents have them battle-tested for a matchup against Mountain Heritage this week. Look for the Mountaineers to keep it closer than these experts think in Yancey County Friday night.
Can we pause for a minute? Pat's not allowed to read this from now on.
Why?
It sounds like I'm going to buy a used car.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. It's the Dirty Dozen. Gosh. It's got to be egregious. Louise.
This is great. Carson just got fired from reading this.
Yes.
Go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead.
Chiming in at number 9, the Warriors of Irwin. Formerly number 9, they don't move their place. They're at 2-5. A less than ideal showing against Inca, but the Warriors are still probably the best 2-5 team in the state. They need to clean up the penalties moving forward. The Warriors hold fast at number 9 with a big matchup against Asheville this week in a game that is must win for both sides. Derek goes to West Henderson to stay in the 8th spot. 5-2, the Falcons have a tall task ahead of them with Brevard on the docket this week. Can the Falcons throw a wrench in the Mountain Eight, or is the gap between the top three in the league and everyone else as wide as it appears? Staying at number 7, the 6-2 Bears of Pisgah. The most physical team in the universe.
I thought it was the metaverse.
It could be. Dominated Tuscola in the biggest rivalry game in Western North Carolina this past week. Landon Pope is on a heater, a bye week, and East Henderson is all that remains between the Bears and Brevard in the final week. Look for the Bears to cause some chaos atop the Mountain Eight to close out the year.
I noticed Pisgah's coach quoted after the win, he knew Tuscola couldn't handle their physicality. I'm pretty sure the coach has been hanging out with Pat.
I really hope so. Was it at the doctor's office?
Maybe so. Go ahead, Pat.
Staying at the 6th spot, T.C. Robertson, the Rams, chiming in at 4-3. the Rams roll against North Buncombe this past Friday. Can the Rams take care of business the next 2 weeks against Anka and Irwin to set up a de facto conference championship game against AC Reynolds? The voters are thinking so. What a finish is shaping up in the MAC.
Keep on going with that.
And at number five, dropping from the four spot, the 6-2 Franklin Panthers cruise to a win, an inferior North Henderson squad, but drop one spot due to the performance from the Rockets against a previously ranked team in the Triple D Double T. Derek's Dirty Dozen Top 10, a.k.a. Triple D, Double T. Can the Panthers hold on to solo second in the Mountain 8? They will need Pisgah to beat Brevard for a season-ending three-way tie in the Mountain 8. In at number 4, up from number 5, your Rockets of A.C. Reynolds High School.
Your Rockets.
My Rockets, heck yeah.
It's definitely not my Rockets. Let's put that out there.
Well, you definitely put that out there, Lewis. There's no question in anybody's mind where you are on that. Special teams wins the day for the Rockets on Friday night to be a big rivalry matchup. The Rockets seem to have righted the wrongs in that area of the game that plagued them earlier this year. If the Rockets continue to establish the ground game, look for the Rockets to win another MAC title. A week schedule remains until they visit the Rams on the final week of the year for all the marbles. In at number 3 and staying from number 3, the 6-1 Hendersonville, a shutout against Owen keeps the Bearcats right where they are at number 3 for week 8. A cakewalk against Avery County is in order as the big matchup for the conference title is next week against Mountain Heritage. Number 2, speaking of the devil, Mountain Heritage 6-1. The Cougars are rolling. The health of his health is questionable at best right now. Kaysen Jones will be of extreme importance going into the playoffs. Keep an eye on the Mitchell Mountaineers in an upset special this Friday night. The Cougars cannot look past this bunch in anticipation of the Hendersonville matchup next week. And now your number one choice and still the undefeated Brevard, WNC's only undefeated team, rolls on Friday night. Does West Henderson have enough in the tank to put a scare in the Blue Devils this week? I doubt it.
Oh, Pat, that was fantastic.
There you go.
Can you give Pat a round of applause? I mean, that was great.
I don't really feel like. I think it was more like.
No.
No, that was good. That was good.
All right, I got you.
Yay! There you go.
All right, let's talk playoffs. You want to talk playoffs a minute?
Yes.
We're getting close to that time.
Let's do it.
You had a question. You wanna hit me with it?
All right. So we have been kind of watching. At least I have been. How this new playoff system works. And me and a guy was talking today before practice at Owen, like, it's kind of watered down. And I think someone said that earlier in our podcast. Like,
oh, yeah, everybody makes the playoffs.
About everybody gets in. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's part of going 8A. Everybody makes the playoffs.
I don't know if I like it or not yet.
Let me give you some of these teams and prove to you everybody makes the playoffs.
All right, let's hear it.
We'll start with 6A. If the playoffs started today, Asheville would be the 16 seed and they would play Western Guilford. Reynolds would get the first round bye at the 6 seed, while TC would be the 11 seed and take on Central Cabreras. The winner of that 11-22 game would play Reynolds at Reynolds. And that's all for 6A. We got three teams. They all make it.
Okay.
They probably all should. They're pretty good. 5A.
Let me stop you real quick. And you may not know the answer to this.
I probably do. Go ahead.
I know McDowell's not in the MAC anymore. They're up in a higher conference.
7A.
Yeah, did they make the playoffs at this point, or do you not know?
I did not even look.
Man. Okay, no, I was just curious.
They've had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
I know they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay, good.
So I think right now is the appropriate time to play a clip.
Okay.
Let's play the Brevard clip.
In like second round playoff game?
Too early to...
That clip kind of sucked.
There should have been a little more to that clip.
What we asked was whether two of these teams would get together in a second round playoff.
You said Brevard and Franklin.
Correct.
Brevard's 4A. Franklin's 5A.
No, so they're not
going to gonna happen.
Not going to happen, no.
A listener pointed that out to us. We're still getting used to 8A, just like everybody else. We are.
Exactly.
Oh, that clip. It was a lot better when I listened to it earlier. Anyway, yeah. 5A. We'll talk 5A. Here's proof of what you said earlier.
Okay.
Number 9, West Henderson, will take on the 24 seed North Buncombe. 13 seed Irwin will take on East Rowan, the 20 seed. 14, North Davidson would take on 19 Smoky Mountain. Franklin would get the number six seed and a bye in the first round. Number 10, West Rowan would take on the 23 seed Inca, while the 15 seed Oak Grove would take on North Henderson. Again, if the playoff started today.
I mean, we've kind of talked about it. I like the Mountain Eight a lot. How they are spread out with all the teams. A lot of teams very competitive in that conference.
Yeah, but I think the big North Buncombe has two wins, and one's over Cherokee.
Oh, I know.
And here they are making the playoffs.
I know, but if you're going to follow a conference week in and week out, it used to be the MAC. Maybe that sunset, you know, setting a little bit.
So next up, 4A, Brevard, number one seed. They get a bye. Number two seed, Pisgah, also would get a bye. 12 seed would be Tuscola, and they would play the 21 seed Salisbury. And that's 4A.
Old Salisbury.
They have a hell of a steak down there. Salisbury steak.
Indeed.
So next up, 3A. The 4 seed would be Hendersonville, and they would get the bye. 13 seed East Surrey would take on the 20 seed Polk. 14 seed Owen would play the 19 seed Union, and the winner of that game would play Mountain Heritage. And then the 15 seed Thomasville would take on the 18 seed Madison. So obviously those will probably flip after this week.
Mike's going to get a black eye this week if no one doesn't know about that.
So that's 3A, and that's as far as I went. But
very interesting,
looking fantastic.
So by the rankings right now, who's better, Owen or Madison?
Owen.
Oh, of course.
So that's the playoffs. If they started today based on the 8-8 overtime, I'm sorry, not 8-8, the high school overtime website, that's their prediction.
So what do you guys think about almost everybody making it?
In some aspects, I like it.
I like it financially. You know, like some of these other teams maybe get in a playoff. Sometimes maybe they'll get a home game. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of helps. But at the same time, if everybody gets in, is it worth being in it?
I will point out the movie Hoosiers. The state of Indiana does sectional playoffs for basketball. I imagine the other sports too, but certainly for basketball, everybody makes the playoffs in Indiana at all levels. But they've got to win, and they got to compete to win their sectional to advance, obviously, to regionals and on up to the state. But then you wound up at that point in the 1950s getting a team that wasn't called Hoosier, you know, wasn't from that place. It was a fictional movie, but it was based on a real team that did do that. So
this is like an underdog story where they never expected to win and win it all.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lewis is not old enough to have seen the movie.
Well, you haven't seen Hoosiers.
I'm pretty sure I haven't.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, like in basketball, I can kind of understand how that happens. Do you think that happens in football?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I would say I would make the argument, like we've been talking about all year this year, that everything has leveled out quite a bit, certainly out here between the MAC teams. And then I think y'all pointed out a few times that the Mountain Eight competes pretty well against the MAC this year if there's being a face-off there.
I would say the Mountain Eight has dominated the MAC this year.
I would not say that.
You wouldn't say that?
No.
And
what about the first few weeks? Think about it.
Yeah.
Then you take a look at college. Right, what's been going on with college with the whole transfer portal and the conferences balancing out. The SEC doesn't just completely annihilate everybody. Take a look at Texas. What were they, preseason number two, number one?
Yeah.
Were they one? And then Ohio State beat them, and then now I don't even think they're ranked, are they, right now?
They have dropped out of the rankings.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple of those high teams that Florida State did.
Yeah.
There's another one that I saw today that was started up top, and Penn State.
Penn State
fired their coach. Teams are not as deep because they're having to pay so much money for the starting 22.
Right.
Do you think that's what's happening in the MAC?
I don't think anybody's paying anybody for anything.
The other conferences have kept up with them?
Yeah.
You think the other conferences are paying now? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if anybody's paying. I'm just saying.
Indeed.
So let's talk about...
Can't get a car and a house anymore. It's tough out there.
Let's talk about this week. You ready?
Let's do it.
So at No Mountain 8, I threw a couple of games in there that a lot of you guys may not be familiar with. But also, we don't have Carson's picks, but they'll be on the pick sheet once he puts that out. So
once he gets his head closed up.
Yeah. Now, are you going to let Carson hear the podcast for Lewis's picks before he makes his
picks?
Okay,
so Mike and I were talking about this before the show. Yeah. If we do let him hear it, I think he goes complete opposite of me.
Yeah. I like the blind pick better because you have no idea what he's going to pick, and he has no idea what you're going to pick. As long as he does his picks now officially before he hears the podcast.
And I was thinking they should come in, because you know last week we had this whole thing where they're like, I had to go opposite each time, Lewis, yeah. And then they need to write their picks down.
Ahead of time.
I have been writing mine down.
Okay, but you don't always go with what you wrote down.
That's correct.
See? I caught it. I'm sitting right next to you. I don't know if you knew that.
There's no possible way I could have known that, Mike. Yeah.
All right, so first up, Hickory, 7-1, 6-0 in the conference, at East Lincoln, 8-0, 6-0 in the conference. East Lincoln, a 1.5-point favorite at home. Hickory, they've won 7 in a row. They're scoring 45. They're only giving up 11. They haven't had a close game since week 1 when they lost 27-25 to South Point. Their quarterback, McCray, throws for 121 yards a game. He has 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, while running back Jenkins, 119 yards a game and 5 touchdowns. For East Lincoln, they haven't had a close game. They average 51 while giving up 17. Quarterback Lawless, 264 yards a game, 28 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. As a team, they rush it for 184 yards. And wide receiver Dollar, 109 yards a game, and he has 18 touchdowns. Last year, Hickory won this game 42-21. Lewis, who wins it this year?
So because I know how the Simmons works, Hickory's actually a 0.5-point favor. So I'm going to go with Hickory.
What?
You get 2 for being at home.
So if you know how it works, you know they get 2 because you need 2 because of your home field advantage.
That's what I'm saying. They only get 0.5 point.
So you're taking Hickory.
I'm definitely picking Hickory.
All right. Pat?
Well, I know nothing about these teams in general other than I saw what Hickory did a couple of years ago.
Lay obviously. The belt. Lay the belt to Reynolds.
Indeed. The agony.
And West.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. West. You can check it. Mm.
Well, I'm going to take Hickory because of what I've seen in the past, but I know nothing about this team really or East Lincoln, but that's what I'm basing it on.
Based on this year and the stats, I think East Lincoln takes care of business. I'm going to go East Lincoln.
There you go.
Let's flip a coin for Carson.
So next up, well, he's going to take East Lincoln because...
One hundo.
Yeah. So next up, Mallard Creek, the number 8 team in the state, travels to Independence, the number 15 team in the state. Independence also a 1.5-point home underdog. These teams did not play last year. Independence, they're scoring 24 while giving up 22. They're 5-2 on the year. They've had some close games. They lost to Huff and West Charlotte. West Charlotte 31-7. Mallard Creek also lost to West Charlotte 32-9. Mallard Creek does not put stats out for Independence quarterback Street, 151 yards a game, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and he also rushes it for 37 yards a game. Pat, who do you think here?
Pure gut call, Mallard Creek.
Pat's taking Mallard Creek. I'm going to go Independence. They're the number 15 in the state versus 8 in the state of Mallard Creek. I think Independence gets the win here.
I'm going Mallard Creek, and I'm not liking that I'm siding with Pat on all this.
You should. I'm very, very smart. Take a look at my record from last week.
It's hurt me.
This could be a bad day for you, Lewis.
It could be.
Or a great day.
So next up, we're a little more local, but still a little bit of a far reach with No Mountain 8 this week. Cherokee, 2-5, 1-2 in the conference, taking on Swain, 4-3, 2-1 in the conference. Swain, a 21.5-point home favorite. Last year, Cherokee won this game 27-14. Their only 2 wins are against North Buncombe and Rosman, and they've lost 2 in a row. For Swain, they've won 3 of the last 4. Last week, they beat Hazel 28-0. while Cherokee lost to Hazel 37-28. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I think Cherokee, they don't win this game, but they stay within the 21.5. Lewis?
I think Cherokee has struggled against really good teams this year, and they will not cover.
So you're taking Swain. All right. Pat?
I'm hitching my wagon to Lewis on this one as well.
Yes. This is perfect.
Yes.
This is perfect.
Indeed. Hey, you know what? I got the hot hand over here, Lewis.
Hey, if you can shoot the smalls and the highs, I'm down. I'll follow you.
So next up, this could be a very, very entertaining game. Madison, 4-4 overall, 2-2 in the conference.
Game of the week?
Yes. Traveling to the Valley to take on Owen, also 4-4, 2-2 in the conference. This game's a pick 'em. No spread on this one. For Madison, guys, they're 0-3 on the road. But guess what? Owen, 1-3 at home.
Ooh, interesting.
Owen's lost two in a row by a combined of 80-7. Madison has lost two of their last three. Common opponents, Avery. Madison won 47-20, while Owen won 43-15. Polk, Madison won 27-22. That's 5 points, Lewis.
Good job.
Polk, 17-14 for Owen. That's three.
Good job.
Yeah. They also both played Hendersonville. Madison lost 56-3, while Owen lost 40-0. You want to go first, Lewis?
I would love to hear what you have to say, Mike, because you've always, this whole year, have said how great Madison is.
I don't think I said how great they were.
I mean, they're a much better team than Owen.
I didn't even say they were much better.
That's what you said.
The word I used was better.
Oh, they're better than Owen.
And I still believe that.
Oh, God.
I believe they break the 0-3 on the road record this year, and they'll pick up the win in the Valley this weekend. Pat?
Not a chance. The War Horses are going to be fired up and ready to go. And they're going to take it and get it done against Madison. Go War Horses.
You're up.
I'm just going with what the offensive coordinator said to me going down the steps today for practice. This is his favorite week. He used to coach at Madison. He's going to have the guys prepared for anything those guys are going to throw at him. I mean, pick them might not be good enough, just so you know. This could be a blowout, but I'm definitely picking Owen.
Wait. You're picking Owen? I know last week you weren't riding with your boys, so are picking them this week.
Riding them with them this week, for sure.
Okay. The offensive coordinator. They've scored 7 points in 2 weeks.
That's okay. I got faith in Coach G.
Okay. So you're going to take Owen. You and Pat are 4-4
yes.
with each other.
How about that?
And I will be in the Valley this week. That's where I'm headed.
This is going to be a wild pick sheet.
I can't wait for Carson to put his in there. So next up, the powerful Mitchell. What are the Mitchell Mountaineers?
Yeah.
The Mitchell Mountaineers, 4-3, 2-1 in the conference, heading up to Burnsville to take on Mount Heritage. 6-1, 3-0 overall. Mount Heritage is a 26.5-point home favorite. They've won 3 in a row. And in those three games, Pat, they've scored 52, 51, and 57. For Mitchell, they've also won 2 in a row, and the average score, or the combined score in those two games, 79-14.
Wow.
Last year, Mount Heritage won this game 54-12. Common opponents, Robbinsville. Mount Heritage won 50-19, while Mitchell lost 35-6. And Polk, Mitchell won 39-7, while Mount Heritage won 51-8. Lewis, I'll let you go first since you deferred last time. Who are you taking in this one? Mount Heritage, 26.5-point home favorite.
Mountain Heritage just takes care of business. I mean, very good program up there. Those guys know what they're doing. That's who I'm going to pick.
Mount Heritage. Pat, Mount Heritage?
So I have been battling this one back and forth in my head all the time, and that's a lot of points. I do think Mountain Heritage gets this done. So give me Mountain Heritage, and Lewis and I are still holding hands, going through the tulips together. Let's go. Let's go, Lewis.
I think Mitchell could stay within the 26.5. They've struggled early, but they're rolling lately. I'm taking Mitchell.
Pat, if me and you are correct, and he's like 0-7 right now, yes. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for what's getting ready to happen.
So next up, which should be a very not entertaining game, Hendersonville 6-1, 3-0 in the conference, travels to Avery. 1-6 overall, 0-3 in the conference. Avery, a home 48.5 point underdog. In conference, Avery scoring 14 while giving up 49, their only win over a very bad ACA team. For Hendersonville in conference, they're scoring 43 while only giving up 3. That defense is something. Hendersonville has only had 2 games where they've won by more than 48 points. 48.5 point favorites. Pat, who are you thinking here?
Well, yeah, again, another big spread here. And the running clock starts at 35. We talked about that last week.
But only after the first half.
That's true. And that's a lot of points. Give me Hendersonville.
I also think Hendersonville wins. They're not afraid to put up some points here. Their defense scores, their offense scores. I think Hendersonville wins this one by a lot.
I also think Hendersonville will. They might put up 50 in the first half.
It wouldn't be unprecedented. We saw it last week. Those two teams, by the way, did not play last year. Hendersonville new to that conference. Next up, Brevard. Undefeated Brevard headed to West Henderson. Guys, this should be a battle.
Indeed.
West Henderson, a home 23.5 point underdog. West, of course, led by McGraw, who rushes for 152 yards a game and 12 touchdowns, while quarterback Cade Young, 164 yards a game and 10 touchdowns, a very balanced offense. In conference, Brevard scoring 47 while giving up 16. Guys, that's a 31-point difference. Brevard's next three, West, Tuscola, and Pisgah. They're at the meat of their conference schedule. I can't remember who picked first last time.
I did.
Okay. Pat, what do you think?
I think Derek hit this on the head and the thread. This is the dog of the week right here. West Henderson is not going to win this game, I don't think. Brevard will still win, but they aren't going to be able to cover the 23.5. So I'm going with West Henderson in the points.
I think Brevard is too athletic for West, and Brevard wins by more than 23.5.
Well, Pat, let's just keep the streak going. I'm going West Henderson.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So next up, TC, 4-3 at Inca, 2-5. TC beat North Buncombe 42-0 last week. These two teams did not play because of the storm. Inca last year, Inca 32.5 point home underdog. I'm taking TC in this one. I think they'll win by more than 32.
I also feel the same. TC, I do think they've kind of figured it out. Inca still struggling.
Pat?
This is where we part ways, I'm afraid, Lewis.
Good.
I'm going to go with Inca because I think they're gritty, but I think TC will prevail, but I don't think they're going to prevail by 32.5.
All right. Next up, the battle of the MAC champs. Last year's 3A champ, Inca. I'm sorry.
Irwin.
Let me try that again.
Yeah.
This is the battle of the MAC champs from last year. 3A champion Irwin, 2-5, 1-1 in the conference. We'll take on the 4A champs from last year, Asheville, 2-5, 0-2 in the conference. This is a pick 'em, guys. This is probably for third place in the MAC. For Irwin, they've lost two of their last three. They snuck out a win over Inca, 28-14. And in the last three, they're only averaging 11 points a game. For Asheville, they've lost three in a row and five of the last six. Their only win was against a private school from West Asheville. Injuries, very tough on Asheville right now. 7 season-ending injuries for starters. Lewis, what are you thinking on this one? It's a pick 'em. Last year, they did not play because of the storm.
I'm going to go Irwin on this one.
Lewis going Irwin. Pat.
Yes, I also will be going with Irwin on this one, and I think it's going to be a close battle, but I think the difference may be the fact that Irwin will be able to get pressure on Tay a little bit, and be that could be the difference maker there, the pass rush.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Just remember who gave you a sweater.
So here's the thing I'm thinking. And I read you the text. I read you the information on the penalties. That 28-14 over Inca scares me. Scares me. But 7 season-ending injuries also scares me.
Yes.
I don't know. Originally, I was thinking Irwin. Because I thought you guys were going to take Asheville, to be honest. I'm taking Asheville. So next up, The last game we have, Reynolds, 4-3, 2-0 in the conference at North Buncombe. 2-5 overall, 0-2 in the conference. North Buncombe, a 32.5-point underdog at home. They've lost four in a row. Their four losses are by 27, 16, 18, and 42. Last week, they started a new freshman quarterback. For Reynolds, they've won two in a row. They seem to have righted the ship, and they're rolling. They're led by the run game. And in conference, Pat, they're only giving up 8.5 points a game. So, Pat, are you taking North Buncombe?
No. That would be a Reynolds pick again this week. The bend don't break defense of Reynolds will be a big difference maker. And then the strong running game, as you pointed out, so aptly will be there as well. And I think you're going to see Caden Ray turn loose and maybe even get some great offensive production out of Ethan Klepper. So I think it's going to be rockets all day.
Yeah, I think so too. The athletes the Rockets have, I just don't believe that North Buncombe can slow them down.
Reynolds is going to win this one.
All right. We got to get Carson's picks in here. This could be an interesting pick sheet.
It could be.
This could be a real great week for me.
Oh.
Could also be a real bad week for me. Chances are it evens out like it always does.
Dude, I really hope me and Pat are correct. And you choosing against us?
It wasn't intentional. You can see the dots in my notebook. So, Pat, there's a rumor going around that you might have a couple fun questions.
I did find a couple of fun questions. And I'm just debating here really quickly on which one I'd like to do. All right, gentlemen. So here, think back to your time when you were playing in athletics or a situation where you have this and see how you would play this. This is a time travel twist. Would you relive your biggest win or erase your worst loss and why?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes. Time travel twist. Would you relive your biggest win or erase your worst loss and why?
Can I go first?
Well, yeah.
I feel like you erase your biggest loss because, like, the one thing we're supposed to do from history is learn from it, which many people around us today are not doing that. So I think you learn from what you've done, you erase your biggest loss, and then that's just added value to your life.
To me, I think the feeling of your best win is a feeling you want to relive over and over.
Go ahead, Pat, answer, and I want to rebuttal his.
Yeah, we'll rebut it now.
Okay. So if you get rid of your biggest negative, statistically wise, it shifts your whole life so much, right?
We're talking about an athletic event, or are we just talking about an event in life?
No, well, it says that. Well, I think it was an athletic event. That's the tone of the question.
The athletic. So, it doesn't matter. Either way, though, if you get rid of your biggest loss.
So my biggest loss in a baseball game when I was 12 will change the whole trajectory of my life?
It could be. It could.
It could.
It literally, if you follow statistics, if you get rid of the low liar, it shifts all the data points up. So overall, your biggest loss, if you get rid of that, it improves your life overall.
That's great. Pat?
1987.
I was one.
The Warriors of Western Albemarle High School in Crozet, Virginia, have a prolific season for a very young high school at the time. It had only been open a few years. This was their first foray into the playoffs. My senior year in high school, accolades on several players of this team. We draw Loudoun County, famous as one of the teams in the movie Remember the Titans. They destroyed us in that game, and that is the worst loss of my life. Now, if you...
So are you erasing it, or what are we talking about?
Well, yeah, I'm getting to that. So that's the worst loss of my life, and if I think about poker, and I love playing poker, if you listen to the poker players out there, you always remember the worst beats of your life.
That's right.
Not the high points of it. So I'm erasing that loss to Loudoun County and seeing how that alters things.
I agree with you.
So
why did we agree on that too, Pat?
Indeed, we're very agreeing this week, Louis.
I'm just glad y'all sat.
I'm not agreeing at all, just so you know.
I'm just glad y'all sat side by side and held hands today.
Indeed.
It's fantastic.
That's not all we held.
So I'm glad y'all are great together.
Yes,
you're like peanut butter and jelly.
Something like that.
Peas and carrots, son.
Peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots.
Mashed potatoes and steak fingers.
or gravy.
Yeah, gravy. Whatever.
All right. Well, come back next week and we'll see how all this turns out. It could be fantastic or it could be a complete train wreck. Either way, we're going to have fun with it. Until next week, thanks for tuning in.